That was awesome, wasn't it? Thank you, Noah. God bless you, everyone. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to read a couple verses quickly from Romans chapter 10 this morning. Romans chapter 10, going to begin reading in verse 6. While you find your way there, New Year's also falls on a weekend, and so we will have two New Year's Eve services at 4:30 and 6 p.m. on Saturday, New Year's Eve, and then New Year's Sunday morning, we'll have one service at 11:30 a.m. So it's the same schedule, both weekend, Christmas weekend and New Year's weekend, and we hope to see you there. Our church office will be closed between Christmas and New Year's, but we do have a pastor on call line. And so if you need a pastor, if you need prayer, if you need any assistance of any kind, you can get the pastor on call number. When you dial into the main church phone number, there's a message and it gives you the pastor on call number. Or you can go to our website and right on the front page of our website, you can find the pastor on call number. And so there will be pastors available all through the holidays. Should you have any need, we'll be here to assist you. In just a moment, we're going to have a word of prayer, and then we're going to take a little walk together. And we're going to let you enjoy, for most of you, your first peek inside of phase two. We'll have about a half hour to look around the new building. We're going to send half of you first down to the lower level of the building. That's a good place to go because that's where all the refreshments are downstairs on the lower level. And the other half of you we're going to send first to the upper level. And then after about 15 minutes, we're going to ask you to switch change and take a look around at the other level that you haven't seen. But just before we go see the new building, I want to share a couple of verses with you from Romans chapter 10. Look with me in verse 6 if you have your Bibles. Romans 10, beginning in verse 6. Paul says, "But the righteousness that is by faith says, do not say in your heart, who will ascend into heaven? That is to bring Christ down. Or who will descend into the deep? That is to bring Christ up from the dead. But what does it say? The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the message of faith that we proclaim." Look with me in Romans chapter 10, verse 9. Some of the best words in Scripture, some of the best loved and most well-known Scriptures. Let's say this verse together, Romans 10, 9. "If you confess with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you shall be saved." Let me read on. "For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess your faith and are saved. As Scripture says, anyone who believes in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all and richly blesses all who call on him." I like that verse of Scripture right there. Amen. "He richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. How then can they call on the one they have not believed in? And how can they believe in the one of whom they've never heard? And how can they hear without someone preaching to them? And how can anyone preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news." Why are we building phase two? Why are we stretching and praying and sacrificing to make this dream become a reality? Well, it's all because of a word from the Lord. In 1983, when God called Pastor Ray and Patty Tate to come plant a church here in Greenwich, he gave them a word of promise. The Lord told Pastor Ray that there is a harvest here in Greenwich. That's why our name is called Harvest Time. And the Lord told Pastor Ray that Harvest Time would grow someday to be a congregation of more than 1,000 people, which we are today. In 1997, when we set out to find a permanent home for our church, we understood that 1,000 number to be the Lord's mandate for the number of seats in our sanctuary. But when the Lord brought us to this property, the maximum number of seats the town would let us have here was 600-something, so we kind of resigned ourselves to a compromise. We thought, well, we can have more than 1,000 people in two services. But in 2007, the Lord worked it out miraculously that we could add 400 more seats and get to 1,000. So what you see taking shape outside is the fulfillment of a promise the Lord made 33 years ago. Amen. And what will be our purpose in phase two? Looking at Romans 10, I want to mention two things briefly, and then we're going to go take a walk together. What will be our purpose in phase two? Gathering and going. Let's talk about gathering first. You know, the Christmas story is the good news that salvation is readily available and easily accessible. Forgiveness for our sins is readily available and easily accessible. Freedom from guilt and shame and regret is readily available and easily accessible. Peace with God and peace within is readily available. Joy is easily accessible. Freedom from captivity to sin and all of its cruel punishments and penalties is readily available and easily accessible. Paul quotes Isaiah 52 in the verses that we read here. How beautiful are the feet of those who bring good news. The good news specifically in Isaiah 52 was the news that the captivity in Babylon was over for God's people and they were free to come home and live again. The Christmas story is the good news that captivity is over. It's the good news that restoration is readily available, that a fresh start in life is easily accessible, that we can live free from addictions and anger and anxiety. Favor with God is readily available and easily accessible. God's presence with us, God's guidance, God's divine protection, God's supernatural provision is readily available and easily accessible. Paul says, reach out and find him, for he is not far from any one of us. Assurance that we have eternal life at the end of this life is readily available and easily accessible. Some of you might know our friend Emil Smeriglio. Emil and his wife Joanna were two of the six people that were here on Christmas Eve 1983 when Harvest Time Church first started. Emil went home to be with Jesus early yesterday morning. His one desire was to see phase two finish before he went home to be with the Lord. Two or three weeks ago, one of his family members came and they took video and pictures of the inside of the building that you're going to see in just a moment so they could take it to North Carolina and show him. So he didn't make it to see it with us, but he and Joanna are looking over heaven's balcony and they're celebrating with us today. But aren't you so thankful that we have the assurance that we have the gift of eternal life? It's ours. The Christmas story is the good news that we don't have to climb up to heaven in order to acquire this salvation. Jesus has come down from heaven in a body of human flesh in order to make it readily available to us. That's what we're celebrating this Christmas week. The Christmas story is the good news that we don't have to explore the depths of spiritual mysticism in order to somehow find this salvation. The Lamb of God, born in Bethlehem, where the shepherds kept the sacrificial flocks, laid down his life on a wooden cross at the time of the evening sacrifice on Passover. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, and on the third day, he was raised again to life to make this salvation easily accessible to us. You know, especially at Christmas, this good news, it is everywhere around us. This message, it's in our hearts and in our mouths. and the reasons for our gathering here in this sanctuary and next year in phase two is because we have heard this message and we have believed. The reason for our gathering is to worship the one who came down from heaven and laid down his life and descended down into hell and the grave in order to make this salvation available to us. The reason we gather is to love him more and more as we experience more and more of his presence. The reason for our gathering is to continually grow in our understanding of this good news and to experience all its implications for our lives. The reason for our gathering is to continually grow more like him as we serve one another in love. It's to encourage one another in our faith, to support one another, to pray for one another, to inspire one another, to challenge one another, to live life together as followers of Jesus. Why are we building this building? Well, it's for the purpose of gathering. But you know, there's a second purpose that extends beyond our gathering. The second reason we're building phase two is for the purpose of going. The Christmas story is the good news that Jesus has made salvation readily available and easily accessible, but not everyone has heard that good news yet. See, in order to acquire this salvation, all people must do is call out on the Lord in faith. But they can't call out to him in faith if they don't know about the incarnation and about the cross and about his resurrection. And they can't know about that unless someone tells them. They can't know about that unless someone with spiritual authority tells them. I'm not talking about a ministry title or position or a seminary degree. I'm talking about the kind of authority that comes on your life when you have been with Jesus. And no one with spiritual authority can tell them unless they are sent out from gatherings like ours. What's our purpose in phase two? It's gathering so we can go. We gather so that we can all go to our family and our friends with the good news of this Savior, Jesus, who is readily available and easily accessible. We gather so we can go to our coworkers and our neighbors. You know, in our old sanctuary, we used to have a sign over the back door that said, "You are now entering the mission field." I don't know what happened to that sign. It got lost when we moved from that building to this one, but I'm going to paint it over every door in that new sanctuary. You are now entering the mission field. We gather so we can go. We gather so that some of us can go to seniors. Some of us can go to men and women and kids in crisis. Some of us can go to those in prison. We gather so that some of us can go to people across the country and some of us can go to people across the seas. You see, as we gather, we get the faith to go. As we gather, we get the anointing to go. As we gather, we get the knowledge that we need to go. As we gather, we get together the resources so some can go far. The Christmas story is the best news ever. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and he has made salvation readily available and easily accessible. So let's gather in phase two so that we can go spread this good news. In just one moment, we're going to pray together and then we're going to dismiss you. We're going to send this half of the sanctuary out the French doors, and we're going to ask you to go down the sidewalk, down the outside steps, and we're going to ask you to go into the lower level of the building first. It's cool down there. We're going to have a fellowship hall in the lower level that's built, that's bigger than this sanctuary. We're going to have a coffee bar and a bookstore. There's going to be a kitchen. There's going to be 8 new Sunday school classrooms down there. There's 2 water walls that come down. Actually, I was with our construction manager we were walking through the building, and he said, you know, this place in the basement between the two waterfalls, he said, it'd be an awesome place to hold a wedding. You know, if you don't have 1,000 guests to coming to your wedding and you don't want to use the big sanctuary, we can set it up really beautifully downstairs between those two waterfalls. This half, we're going to dismiss you, and we're going to invite you to go out through the back doors of the sanctuary, across the foyer, and into the upper level of phase two first. And then after about 15 minutes, we're going to ask you to switch so that those downstairs can see the upstairs and those upstairs can see the downstairs. We have some tour guides located on both levels to help you. There's a map in your bulletin that has a floor plan of both levels of the building. All right, how many of you are good at reading floor plans? If you're good at reading floor plans, hold up your hand high. If you're good at reading floor plans. All right, those of you who are lousy at reading floor plans, find somebody with their hand up and walk with them, and they'll explain to you where you are in the new building. Now, we have set up 8 photo spots throughout the building, the upper. There's 4 on the upper level and 4 on the lower level. And so we want to invite you to find those 8 hot spots. And we want to invite you to take some photos, take some selfies, have somebody take some photos with you. And we want you to hashtag those on social media at Phase Tour, Phase T-O-U-R. And we're going to have some judges who later this afternoon are going to look through all the photos, and we're going to give some prizes. So we're looking for the funniest photo, the most creative photo. We're looking for the photo with the most number of people in it. We're looking for the best family photo. Actually, you have some stiff competition because I already saw a few from the first service and they did some good jobs. But for those of you who don't know how to hashtag, we have a little instructional video to explain to you how. Take a look at the screens real quick and we'll show you how to hashtag. Take a look.
How to hashtag. You've been asked to hashtag, but haven't a clue? No worries. In just 3 easy steps, you can hashtag like the pros. Step 1, visit each of the 8 photo hotspots and take a picture. This can be a selfie, or someone could take the picture for you. Step 2, select a social media outlet. You can choose Facebook, Instagram, or Twitter. Or you can be adventurous and choose all 3. Step 3, type in the appropriate hashtag before posting. Today's special hashtag is Phase Tour. Get it? We combined phase 2 and tour into 1 word. Ha ha ha. We're so witty. If further assistance is needed, please contact any of our teenagers. After all, they're the real experts. And there you have it. So simple, a child can do it.
Would you stand together with us? Come on, would you just sing that chorus? Let's adore him one more time, then we're going to pray, and then we're going to invite you to go enjoy your first look at phase 2. Let's sing, Come Let Us Adore Him.
Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us adore him. Oh, come let us
find a corner somewhere and take the hand of the person you're walking with, or find a little circle of 2 or 3 or 4 people, and would you just say a prayer for phase 2? Would you just pray that the Lord would just help us to finish the good work that he started. I want to tell you, we have had miracle after miracle after miracle. That's how we know God is with us. God promises when he has started a good work, he'll bring it through to completion. So would you just take a moment as you're enjoying, if you haven't seen the sanctuary yet, I want to tell you, when you look up at the ceiling, it's spectacular. Remember, it's shaped like a dove. And you can't see that from underneath. You have to go over top to see it, but you're under the wings of the dove. So take a moment and have fun with the selfies, have some refreshments downstairs, but take a moment. And when you just say a word of prayer with someone that you're with, that the Lord will just help us to finish this good work. Let's pray. Father, thank you so much for your people. Thank you for the wonderful, the best news ever, that Lord, we don't have to climb up to heaven in order to acquire salvation, but you yourself came down from heaven in a body of human flesh to bring salvation to us. You laid down your life, you descended into the depths, and you raised again to bring salvation to us, to make it readily available and easily accessible. I pray the joy of that would fill our hearts to overflowing this Christmas week. Lord, watch over your people. Lord, as we travel, as family travels to us, keep us safe in your care, Lord. Father, I pray that you would just fill our hearts with fresh faith, fresh vision. Lord, with anticipation of good things that you have for our lives, for our families, and for your church in this coming new year. Lord, we thank you and we give you all the glory. In the mighty name of Jesus, everyone said, amen. God bless you, everyone. Enjoy phase 2.